we have our problems too.
Huh?
We have our problems too.
Oh, well, doesn't look like it. Well, who doesn't have it?
Can you just talk a little bit?
My family history.
Okay, well, let's first start. Today is May 8th, 2010, and we're in Seattle doing a little interview with Mrs. Arata. Uh-huh. I want to thank you for allowing us to come. Toru Saito is here as well.
Oh, you're welcome.
And we wanted to learn about your personal history and information about some of the businesses in Alaska since you were there in Wrangell for a number of years. I know talking to Toru, since he was in Sitka for a number of years, that there's a lot of, well, there has been a Japanese presence for quite a while, but when you start looking into the records, trying to see where they were and what they were doing, it's pretty thin. And what I was hoping to accomplish through this interview was to just get a bit more background about the Japanese investors and what businesses they ran. Now, I do hope, too, that this will become a public record so that once we're done, I will make copies and get them back to you. And then I would like, if you would agree, to have this put into the university archives in Fairbanks so that other people can access the information. Because I don't think there are too many people who know this kind of information.
Oh.
You know, the Japanese investments have declined in fisheries as well as in timber.
I just only know a little bit.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. Okay, so I wonder if we can first get started by telling me a little bit about yourself and your family. Who are they?
Well, I am second daughter of Ichimatsu and Tsuneko Kihara.
Uh-huh. And where were you born?
In 1925.
And you were born where?
Yes, uh-huh.
In Seattle?
In Seattle, yeah. Ah. We had our house until maybe 2 years ago in 1451 Main Street. We had a big house in a corner by a Buddhist church. Do you know where Seattle Buddhist Church is?
Yes.
My father and his friend were instrumental in building that big Buddhist church.
Oh.
Yeah.
When was that church built?
Well,
it must have an early history.
I don't know. I don't know. You could call them up and find out.
Sure.
I guess.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, what about other family members?
I have my oldest sister. You want the name?
Sure.
Taeko Shitama.
Okay.
And younger sister, Itsuko Uota. And, I had the younger sister, the youngest of the family, but she died in an atomic bomb in Japan.
Mm.
And my brother died a couple of years ago in Japan. He went back. He came over with us, and he got married to a Japanese girl, but she had American citizenship. And then their daughter graduated from University of Washington, and so they went back to Japan because his wife's mother wanted her to come back.
I see. So your parents were the original immigrants to this country?
I don't know, original, I don't know. Well, his two older brother were here already.
Uh-huh.
That's why my father came when he graduated from Ichu, you know, in Hiroshima,
mm-hmm.
High school in Hiroshima. He came over.
And then why did the family go back to Japan?
He didn't go back to Japan. Not him.
But
he died in Seattle. Well, my brother went back to Japan.
Ah.
Oh, my father's brothers went back because they got, you know, they made money. That was a dream of all the Japanese who came over to make money and go back to Japan and live like a king.
Yes.
You know, that was their dream. And so his two brothers went back, I think.
And did they live like kings?
Well, they bought the bezo in Miyajima, and great big place, you know, and yeah, the oldest brother did.
Uh-huh. Now, what about your situation? What happened to you?
My father didn't go back. Well, see, we went back to Japan in 1926 with my mother, with my five siblings. To save the fish wholesaler. My father had a fish wholesaler in a waterfront. The waterfront around here was all the fish buyer before. Mm-hmm. Now it's all gone, but fish buyer.
So you're talking about the public market here in Seattle?
Yeah, the waterfront, you know. My father had a Maine Fish Company, water wholesaler.
And what was the name of his company?
Maine Fish Company.
Maine Fish Company, okay.
And all the fishermen with the boat used to come to the dock and unload the fish. And then my father will box it up and send it to Idaho and Montana and, you know, things like that.
And were there a lot of other Japanese doing that kind of business?
No.
Was he one of
the
first?
Not that I know of. I don't know, but my father had lots of Jewish friends, and they didn't have, my father was the first Japanese to open the Maine Fish Company wholesaler on a waterfront.
Yes.
Because his Jewish friend, he played poker on Friday night, you know, and told him that this, you know, I'll sell it to you or something. Because he liked my father.
Do you remember that man's name, the Jewish
man?
No.
Huh. No. Because my father could speak real good English. You know, no accent or anything like that. It was real good English and
friendly. And he could play poker.
Poker, yeah. Every Friday night, yeah.
So once he had that business, what happened?
Yeah, went. And by a Maine Fish Company, and during the war, when the war started, he he had to evacuate. He was about the first one that was taken by FBI when the war started.
Yeah,
because he was a big shot in Japanese community, you know. So he went to camp in, you know, New Mexico, and
was he at Lordsburg? Was he in Lordsburg, New Mexico?
Yeah, he went to New Mexico.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And someplace else, too.
Then to Santa Fe.
Before he was able to come to where my mother was, Hunt, Idaho.
Hunt, Minidoka.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Or someplace. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what happened to the rest of the family? You were all evacuated then?
Well, to save the company, we had a big house. On 1450 on Main Street. It's eightplex now. Somebody tore the house down and built an eightplex. We had a big yard and corner property. But anyway, what I was saying, yeah.
So once the war started then?
No, before the war started, 1932, Fukeiki no toki, you know, depression.
Mm-hmm.
To save the company, he had my mother take five kids to Japan. And he moved all the worker to the house. So he didn't have to pay them too much, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then my aunt, my father's brother's wife, did the cooking for everybody in the house.
That must have been a big company then, lots of workers.
Yeah, quite a bit. All Japanese workers, mostly Japanese workers. Uh-huh. You know, single.
Yes.
Yeah. They come from Japan.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So we went to Japan.
I see. And how long were you in Japan then?
Until 47. Well, we went to Jogakko, and and the war started, and we got stuck.
Okay.
So, and then my sister was just got into Tokyo no Jokoshi, the girls' was best school. She was smart. And so she didn't want to come back. But my mother came back in 38 and left the kids because my father didn't want to separate the kids and wanted Japanese education.
Yeah. So they you remained there.
Yeah. My aunt took care of us.
And when did you all return?
Came back in 47.
47. And then what happened to you at that point? Did you...
I was in atomic bomb, but then I escaped dying. I didn't die.
Do you feel comfortable talking about what that was like?
No, it's okay. But my sister never came back. Youngest sister never came back. So every day I went to the town, Hiroshima, and look for her, but couldn't find her. But you couldn't tell who's who anyway, because there's a charred body, you know, lined up, but you couldn't tell their face because it's all black, charred, you know. So I couldn't find her. And but about 2 weeks later, a school representative came and told us what happened. See, there was, everybody used to go to, I was already working, but she, from school, she went to factory, you know. Koi no eki, Hiroshima no eki, and then Toyo, the factory was another eki, and she, before she got there, the siren rang, so everybody got out of the middle eki station and was coming back through town.
Oh.
And then the bomb was dropped. That's what they came and told us.
And where were you when the bomb actually
dropped? I was working in Hiroshima has lots of rivers, you know Hiroshima, lots of rivers, and I was working in a bottom paint company used to make oxygen tank. Crew the oxygen tank for the pilot. You light it on this side, and then a chemical burned inside, you know, in a tube, and then the oxygen come out of this side.
Yeah, okay.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I used to work in a chemical lab, analysis lab. I used to work.
So you were away from the area that
Yeah, not in the middle. Yeah. I was away. But I saw 8 o'clock, I saw the, just like blue sky, and the silver plane goes, that dropped the bomb. I was by the door, and I saw the plane go by, and then I turned around and took about 5 steps inside, and then the bomb dropped. But I didn't get, I just got cut over here, that's all.
And you got cut on the neck?
Yeah,
you have
right
a little
here.
Scar there?
Yeah.
Was there a huge explosion?
Oh, yeah.
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 And glass was flying, obviously.
Yeah.
Were there people injured where you were?
No, because I was by myself in this lab. Maybe one other person, but I don't know what happened. They didn't get hurt. He didn't
die. How many miles away was the place where the bomb
was dropped? Well, see, I can't tell. Maybe 3 miles, 2-3 miles from the center.
How did that affect the family?
Well, my sister didn't come home. So So that day, we went to abandoned airport nearby. Everybody went over there. Well, lots of people used to work in this factory to make, oxygen tank. Lots of people, and everybody went to this abandoned airport nearby and waited all day and watched the town burn. All day. And then it burned, and by 5 o'clock, this company had juku, kind of vacation juku in Itsukaichi. Do you know Hiroshima?
I don't.
Western side of Hiroshima. You know Miyajima?
Mm-hmm.
Iku, about halfway there from Hiroshima, Koi. We had a juku there,
mm-hmm.
vacation place. And so everybody was going to go there. And then so we went there. And then I used to live in western side of Hiroshima, so I went home.
Mm-hmm.
And then our byobu had a hole in it, kami no byobu.
Mm-hmm.
And roka was,
They shifted, huh?
Yes, shifted, uh-huh. and things like that. But then we could live there.
Uh-huh. Were other members of your family affected?
Just no, my sister used to work in the western side of Mitsubishi Juko. Mitsubishi, so she went home right away. And my brother was a night shift, so he took a bus to Hiroshima Eki and then came home and sat down in front of the American-made radio, and then bomb dropped. But, so he wasn't hurt, And then, so my sister, the youngest sister didn't come home. So I went and looked for her all over the place.
That must have been very stressful for you and for the family.
Every day.
What have been the long-term effects of that atomic bomb?
Well, I can't tell you because I'm so lucky. I didn't get affected. I just had a cut. And that, I'm still 85 and I'm still living.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I have any effect. What do you think?
Well, that's good.
If I died of cancer, I'd be happy. Live till 85,
Sure.
And then I went there every day. And then afterwards, I went to Hiroshima every day to look for my sister. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, you hear about so many people dying, get sick and
so
die.
Radiation sickness. And
yeah.
Right.
Now, how did I escape that?
Maybe you were breathing the right kind of oxygen.
I just can't believe it,
Well,
yeah, it's kind of a miracle, isn't it?
It's good that things are working out.
Yeah. I can't believe it. I'm still kicking. But my sister, younger sister, and older sister still living too. My older sister wasn't there, not in Hiroshima, but she came home right after the next day. And my youngest sister still, but my brother passed away last year, but not from, he smoked, so he got cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Not from atomic bomb.
Mm-hmm. So when did you come back to the U.S.?
U.S., 1947.
And what did you start doing?
Start doing it. I went to Broadway High School to learn English.
Really?
Didn't know any English. This is a dog, that's all. This is a cat, that's all we know.
Were there a lot of other people like you? Who
foreign
would come
class,
back?
Yeah.
But from Japan, were there many
Oh, yeah.
Were there hundreds of them, or?
I don't know, because I was sick every day, seasick every day. So I just stayed in a bunk bed, you know. And there's lots from China came, Chinese came back too. And we're on the bottom of the ship, you know, in a bunk bed. And my sister used to get us orange. And we didn't eat anything.
Yeah, you were too sick.
We just threw up.
Yeah.
Every day. Do you know what we threw up?
Bile. If there's nothing in your stomach.
No, mushi.
Really? My goodness.
Yeah. You know, in
Japan.
Conditions
were that bad.
In Japan, you know what kind of fertilizer they use.
Ah, yeah. So all that night soil then. My goodness.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. In a can, you know, you throw up.
My goodness, that's a very interesting story. Sounds like the making
of swimming, you know, a long thing. Yeah.
Well, what happened once you got back to Seattle, though?
Well, no, we arrived in San Francisco.
San Francisco.
And my mother and father was back in Seattle, living in a house.
Right.
Got their house back. And I came to San Francisco to come and get us.
And did you come up then?
And then he drove us back up to Seattle.
And then the house and everything was back to where?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was good.
Yeah.
And that's when you started back at school then?
Yeah, went to learn English.
Did it take a long time?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you must have spoken Japanese at home then.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So at school it was all English.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mrs. McGilligan and what's the other one? Teacher. Very nice, very good teacher.
And you finished school then at Broadway?
Well, and then we took math, you know, chemistry. They're nothing, you know. I mean, we already knew it, only the English, you know. And we took, after we got pretty good at English class, we learned a driver's ed book, you know.
Practical things.
That English, you know, went through the book. And I went to take a chemistry class and math class and things like that.
And you graduated then?
Yeah.
And then what did you do?
From Broadway High School. And then I guess I got married in 1950. Met my husband. You know, used to go to dance. Dance is where you met people, you know, boys meet girls and girls meet.
Who sponsored the dances?
Oh, Nisei, what is it, Valida or something. There was a university Japanese girls club, Valida or something. My sister, my older sister, she knew English, and then she already went to Jokoshi in Japan. So English teacher in Broadway High School told her to go to university because she already knew all this English too. She worked for American, you know, occupation army in Japan too, some, because she knew English. So she went to university, and then so, you know, there was a dance. So I went to the dance and met my husband.
And who was your husband?
Bob Urata. You are, yeah, you know Urata.
And tell me the history of his family.
His family?
Yeah.
They're from southern tip of Kagoshima, Ibusuki-gun. Ibusuki, Akana. I used to remember Ibusuki-gun, Akana. I went over there one time, Hakamairi, when I went to Japan. And his mother was from there. I guess they're a well-to-do merchant family. You know, あの頃は満州の満州の一番南にマンチュリア、What was the port's name? Anyway, they used to do commerce with, yeah.
Uh-huh. And then when did they come to this country?
Ooh, I don't know. Maybe 1900, around there. I don't know.
And then did they go up to Alaska directly, or did they spend time here?
Oh, no. Here, 写真結婚, I guess.
Really?
She was. Her family was well-to-do family, but she was under her older brother's control.
Uh-huh.
And they made her marry this guy, Urata Ryotaro, and she came over. I don't know if he must have gone back to Japan and married her and left her there. And he came back to Alaska. He went to Alaska and Yukon gold mine.
Oh,
he didn't find
miner.
Any gold.
Okay.
But so he went to work for this banker and cooked for him.
Do you know which bank?
Oh, no, I don't know anything like that. But anyway, she got pregnant after she got married, you know, and had a baby girl. But her brother won't let her bring the baby girl when she came over to America.
Why?
Well, I guess she had a funny idea. America doesn't have any, you know, baby stuff. Or I don't know, old-fashioned idea, I guess.
Uh-huh. So he was trying to protect the
baby, I
the
guess,
baby.
Yeah. Okay. So the baby was raised in Japan with her cousin. So my sister-in-law passed away now, but she has a bad feeling about raised in family like that, because her cousin got all the nice kimono and everything, but she got the hand-me-down all the time, and she really resented it, I think. And she never met her own mother or father,
uh-huh.
you know, uh-huh. because they never went back. And so the uncle thought if she married Japanese guy that's going to Canada, maybe there's a chance to meet the parents.
Uh-huh.
So she was married to this Canadian Japanese when came to Canada.
Uh-huh.
But they never met.
That's too bad. It seems
yeah.
like they could have
yeah.
had that occur.
Yeah. So she worked very, very hard all her life. And when they finally met, they didn't get along. Oh, I was married and went to Alaska, you know. And then had baby, my first son. She came over from Canada to help me because I had a mother-in-law and father-in-law living with me. So she came over with her two boys to help out.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't get along. They're the same type of, you know, strong character.
Yeah.
Both.
Yeah.
So they didn't get along at all.
But you had a chance to interact with
Well,
them. Yeah.
I don't know what I did, but she helped me with the baby and the in-laws.
Yeah. Well, it's probably good to have had that help, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Did you ever have any more contact after that?
Oh, yeah. My oldest son, they lived in Canada, Ontario, Canada. And my oldest son went to Northwestern.
Mm-hmm.
And so those days we didn't, you know, have money to let him come home for the Thanksgiving or Christmas or, you know.
Sure.
So he went to Canada to auntie's place.
Oh.
Yeah. And they had the two boys older than Bob, Bobby, mm-hmm. my son. So he really had a good time and liked them. Mm. Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That worked out then,
yeah.
even though initially
yeah.
it didn't.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, sister was very nice to me. You know, when she came to visit, you know, help me when I had Bobby.
Mm-hmm. 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 Well, tell me a little bit about what happened once you two were married. When you were first married, where were you and what were you doing?
Oh, we got married and then went to honeymoon to Victoria, Vancouver or someplace. Vancouver, I think. And then was not very rich those days. He was fisherman. And so, and then we went to, we took a steamboat to went to Alaska.
Mm. Do you remember what the boat was named?
No, but I get seasick every night. I didn't eat anything. Bob used to eat my part, I think.
But why were you going north?
Huh?
Why did you go north?
Because that's where he lived. He's from Wrangell, Alaska.
Yeah. And so you had to go back to his place. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Because he was a fisherman. And he come to UW after the fishing season ended. And then went back in April, spring quarter. I don't think he took spring quarter. And then he used to take everything. Geology, oceanography, forestry. You know, he didn't have any major. He didn't take English. He used to take everything he wants,
sure,
you know.
Sure.
But it all came in handy because he went to work for a sawmill.
Uh-huh.
He went to work for a sawmill, and it wasn't. Eventually, Japanese bought it. Japanese bought the sawmill, but C.T. Takahashi, have you heard that name?
No, I haven't.
Oh, that's a famous name in Seattle. He's the biggest businessman those days.
Mm-hmm.
C.T. Takahashi bought the sawmill, so Bob knew him, and so he hired Bob for watchman.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And then it started cutting lumber, you know, and eventually Japanese bought it.
What was the original name of that sawmill?
I don't know. I don't remember.
And then what did it eventually turn into when it was...
Alaska Lumber.
Alaska Lumber.
And by then they bought the Sitka's... They had Sitka's pulp mill.
So they already had Sitka pulp?
No.
No.
Wrangell Lumber came first.
Uh-huh. And then Sitka.
Yeah.
So what years would that have been?
I went to work when Mari was 10. So Mari was born in 1956. So 66, I went to work. And what did you ask me?
When did they purchase Alaska Lumber?
So it's about 65 or 66, I guess.
So you were one of the first employees then for them? When they took over?
No, not really. Somebody quit at the sawmill. And so Bob said, "Do you want to go to work?" Because my youngest daughter was 10.
Mm-hmm.
And she came home the same time as my oldest daughter, 3 o'clock. So I thought maybe it's okay to go to work because Mari came home same time as Amy did. You know, mm-hmm. Amy is the oldest daughter, and she's just like a little mommy.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to work. Yeah.
Yeah. And how long did you work for them?
For 15 years for good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it belly up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I retired.
And what happened during the period that you were working with them? Did business grow?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Well, we used to have 3 ships coming from Japan in a month when it was good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 3 ships fully loaded with logs or lumber.
And they would take then
to Japan.
Timber. They'd take the raw timber, essentially. And
no, cut lumber.
Was it dimensional lumber?
Yeah, yeah.
Ah.
Cut lumber to Japan. And because Japan was building those days after, you know, Tokyo was just wiped out,
mm-hmm.
no houses, and then they used to send lumber to build the houses.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who were the people working in the company in Wrangell? Were they local folks or were
they? Yeah, local folks.
And how many people were involved?
Oh, about, sometime we had 2 shifts,
uh-huh.
night shift too. About 90 maybe.
So that was big employer.
Yeah.
And what was the feeling about harvesting lumber at that point?
Okay. I mean, those days, you know, we had too much rotten, you know, lumber.
Sure. And so a similar thing was happening in Sitka then? Is that why they expanded?
No, Sitka was a pulp
product?
Mill.
Okay.
It was a
pulp
mill.
Tell me about that.
Well, I don't know too much about it, but they had a pulp mill. We used to send the little skinny logs, I think, to pulp mill, and they make pulp.
Mm-hmm. And then that got made into stock
paper.
For other kinds of things.
Yeah. Rayon.
Mm-hmm. Were there other Japanese involved in the operation in Wrangell?
Other Japanese? Well, my husband's brother, older brother, was a millwright.
And what was his name?
Jack. And his son, Jackie, worked there too. He didn't go to college.
Mm-hmm. Now, are they still alive and in Wrangell?
Jackie is.
Uh-huh.
But Jack passed away.
Approximately when?
Bob died first. When did Bob die? 86, I think. And Jack died maybe 90. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. So what did you do when you were working there?
Oh, everything. I was really good, if I should say so myself.
Oh, my goodness. So did you run the office or were you out in the yard?
No. I'm math oriented. You know, I'm not language oriented. We're all math and science oriented. So, and then we didn't have a computer those days. Everything was
adding machine
hand.
Right?
Yeah.
You didn't have a sorbonne to do all of that.
Yeah. We used to make a payroll with about 4 or 5 paper, you know. Make a paycheck.
Yeah. Well, that's quite a number of people to have to keep tabs on, too.
Oh, yeah.
If your workforce was that large. Yeah. So what percent of Wrangell was working with the lumber?
Well, just about everybody.
If they weren't fishing, they were working in lumber, yeah.
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 I guess.
Did you have people who would work both whenever there were fishing opportunities? They'd be fishing and then they'd sort of fill in with?
Well, fishing, there's a season.
Right.
So where there's no fishing season, maybe some fishermen work for the mill.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Were you getting a lot of out-of-town people to come up to work, like people from the Northwest, Oregon and Washington people?
Oh, well, the sawyer, the, you know, or filer, they all came from Oregon, Washington.
Uh-huh.
Those skilled person.
Yes.
And other things like an edger, Jackie used to be an edger. He learned to do that. But all the main, you know, Filer and Sawyer and those people all came from Oregon.
Mm-hmm. And did they stay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And have they remained there?
No, not really. I think they went back. Well, most of them went back, I think, when the mill was no longer.
Mm-hmm. So these were very specific skills, then a sawyer would actually be the one who does the cutting.
Yeah.
And then the, I guess the other people would sharpen the...
Yeah, filer, mm-hmm. yeah. And some other people too, uh-huh. trimmer, I don't know, I don't remember. But, you know, those people came from Oregon.
Yeah. And then all of the ship loading and that kind of thing, activity, was done by what?
Longshoremen. My husband belonged to a longshoreman union, too.
Uh-huh.
And he worked for the mill office. He used to be a purchasing agent, buy things, purchase things, parts and things.
Now, what were the differences in regulations when you were shipping things to Japan? Did you have to go through particular shipping companies in order to accommodate that, or were there Japanese ships coming here?
Well, I don't know how it went, but then the Japanese ship used to come. We used to have a sukiyaki party.
Was there any conflict from the American people who worked on ships complaining about union labor or anything like that?
No.
No.
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. They're making money, so
yeah.
What to complain?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, regular people didn't have a job, but people who didn't have a job came to load the ship,
uh-huh.
had a job,
mm-hmm.
good paying job too.
Mm-hmm. Were there a lot of parties and that kind of thing when the Japanese would come to town?
Well, not Japanese come to town. They lived, about 10 families lived in Wrangell.
Oh.
That worked for the sawmill.
And what were their jobs?
Oh, the office job.
So they would be working with you, essentially? And...
Well, they were upstairs. All the Japanese were upstairs. And Hakujin was downstairs.
Ah.
You know, mill manager and purchasing agent and forest service, forest department, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They had to buy logs.
Mm-hmm. And then downstairs. What was happening upstairs?
Ask her dad.
What did you think was happening upstairs?
Well, they send the paper, shipping paper, how much lumber and logs went to Japan, you know.
Uh-huh.
Have to let them know.
So it was more of technical pilling
office
and paperwork
work.
And
office
that kind
work.
Of office work.
Office uh-huh. work.
Do you think that the Japanese were pickier about what the quality of the material, the logs were, and they had to be done a certain way?
I don't know. I don't think so.
It was probably just to keep the paperwork flowing in both directions. Hmm. Now, did the Japanese families integrate very well into Wrangell? Did
oh,
they
yeah.
socialize and
oh, yeah.
everything?
They went to school and ask him. You went to school, didn't you?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What grade until?
First grade.
Fifth grade?
First
grade?
But then I went to Sitka after that.
Oh, uh-huh. And then went to Sitka school?
Yeah.
For until what?
Fifth grade?
Oh, you were there for quite a while. So you're perfect in English.
I think so.
Yeah. Bilingual.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. What about the other families, though, that were in Wrangell? Did any of them stay, or did they move once the company lost its business? Well,
you have. I heard they have a reunion, like annual get-together.
Yeah. Some stayed.
And are they living in Alaska, or are they living in Seattle, or
here?
And you, how often is your reunion?
Once a year.
What, really? Are there, oops, you're hooked up to the microphone, so let's let's just stay that way.
Oh.
I can get it.
あそこにね、あの後ろの方に、後ろに、そうそうそうそう。
Oh.
Yeah.
My goodness.
I'm friends with Miyagi-san.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So I thought I might call him if I had time.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. He works for Canadian's
seafood
company.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they live in Mill Creek, living north here, and then he commutes.
Uh-huh. Well, I think it's interesting that there's this whole infrastructure of Japanese people here
mm-hmm.
who still maintain the connections.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very logical.
Once a year, mm-hmm. we go eat Japanese food.
Shinoda-san might be a good person to talk to ask.
Yeah, yeah.
Mr. Shinoda?
Shinoda,
he's been in Seattle. He's a... He was in the Seattle office for a long time.
He lives in Bellevue, I think.
Well, I think it'd be interesting now to start looking to see what may have been recorded about that here in Seattle, because there are a number of history projects that
they live in Seattle too. And then he has a condo in Seattle.
Oh.
Kimura-san. And she lives here too. He lives here too.
Mm-hmm.
And they live here too. And he lives in Bellevue. Yeah, they all live here.
Well, you're fortunate you have groups like that that get together.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I wonder if we could get back to talking about your immediate family.
Oh.
Because we had you married, and then all of a sudden you're running this business. But I want to find out about your kids.
Oh, my kids?
Yeah.
I have 5 kids.
Okay.
Doctor made a stop to it. I didn't know anything about, you know, SEX.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, came from Japan.
Uh-huh.
And before we left Japan, we heard Tenno-hyeka did it too. Then we were so shocked. But he had five or six kids in the tent. Anyway, my kids,
mm-hmm.
oldest is Bobby Robert. He's a doctor.
And he practices in Juneau?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He lives in Juneau. He has a clinic with 9 doctors. Yeah. When you go to Juneau, you look him up. He has a big new complex.
I know people who dearly love him because he's such a good doctor for families.
Oh, where did you hear it?
Well, I have sources.
Yeah, he is a real nice guy.
Yeah, and he's one of the people that has adopted technology too.
Mm.
And they really appreciate that because they can get consultations here in Seattle using equipment that's in the hospital there.
He is a real nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then my second one, Gilbert, he wasn't going to get up in the middle of the night and deliver babies, so he became a dentist.
Oh. And where does he practice?
Cordova. And he goes Bristol Bay fishing. He has a little gillnet boat, Kihara janaine. Kihara jattara amari nihongo mi. So he says Kihar, no Ryan. Little boat, and then he goes seining. He has seiner too.
Mm-hmm.
He has somebody else take the boat and go seining.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then Amy, A-I-M-E-E, Amy is a Chojo. She lives in Friday Harbor.
Oh.
She's a physical therapist by education, but she doesn't do physical therapist anymore. She went to Fiji for Fiji to physical therapist hospital for Peace Corps.
Oh.
When she was young.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But she has 4 girls. Well, they're all grown up, but she lives in Friday Harbor. And Naomi, everybody is a medical field, you know. So she went to Tufts University to become a registered dietitian.
Oh.
And she worked for Virginia Mason Hospital for a couple of years, but she didn't, that wasn't her thing. But she, her thing is a math. So she went to Yale
mm-hmm.
Management School and became MBA.
Oh.
And mm-hmm. she, that's what she does now.
Is she here in Seattle?
She lives in Bothell.
Bothell. Oh, mm-hmm. my goodness. So everyone's close by then?
Yeah.
Relatively.
And then my youngest, Mari, lives in Eugene, Oregon. And she's an RN by education, but she doesn't work.
Uh-huh.
Her husband makes enough money, I guess. Her husband is a maxillofacial.
Oh, specialist.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Accidentally, なんかなって、た顔を直してくれる。
Now, where were all of the kids raised?
Huh?
Where were you raising the kids? Were they raised in
Wrangell
and then Wrangell, here?
Of course. They all went to Wrangell High School. And then went to, Bobby went to Northwestern, Gilbert went to Oregon, and Amy went to Washington, physical therapy. And then Naomi went to Davis, UC Davis,
uh-huh.
and then went to Tufts, and then Yale.
Uh-huh.
And then Mari went to Oregon.
Oregon. You certainly have very well educated kids. Did you
yeah.
push education?
Well, that was the thing to do. I didn't push it, but you know, they all knew they had to do it.
Mm-hmm. And what was your husband's viewpoint on education?
Oh, the same.
Do you think the kids were competitive at all, trying to make sure that they did go to school and not shame the family or be left behind?
Well, I don't think they especially thought anything like that, but they knew they had to go to college and get an education.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, I guess they got it from the way they were raised.
Sure.
You know.
Sure. Then how long did you remain in Wrangell?
Until 1990, I think. I sold my house.
Mm.
Well, nobody was in Wrangell. None of my kids were in Wrangell.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, no use staying in Wrangell. So I sold my house. Tataki utta iu koto yo ne. What's that?
I visited your house with Hitoshi. That was the last
oh.
time.
Oh.
You were cleaning up the house, getting ready to sell the house.
Oh, oh, oh. Uh-huh. About 90, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What are your reminiscences about living in Wrangell and raising a family there?
Oh, it was a good place to raise family, you know, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knew everybody. They couldn't get into any mischief, you know, because everybody knew everybody.
What were the limitations of living in a place like Wrangell?
Well, you have to, Japanese food, you know, always have to send from Seattle. Have a long list of things, and then they send it on a steamship.
Who would do that? Was there a company or
yeah,
a...
North Coast Importing Company. Used to be here. They don't have, there isn't anymore, but they used to send me a boxes of napa.
Oh.
Even.
Mm-hmm.
The corn okina barrel got there.
Mm-hmm.
Tsukemono tsukuryotte.
Was that true of all the other Japanese families?
What?
The other Japanese families did the same thing? They ordered from the same
well,
company?
Well, other Japanese families, my brother-in-law's family. No, she didn't. She's Nisei girl. No, she didn't do that.
Oh.
Because I like to eat tsukemono.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. What about other long-term relationships with Japanese families in Wrangell area?
There's only one. Bob's older brother Jack's family, that's mm-hmm. all. And then this man married, I know two men married Indian lady.
Ah, who were they?
Miyasaki. Miyasaki.
Miyasato.
Miyasato. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. And then Ion.
Oh.
E-Y-O-N.
Yes. And why is that name Ion? Is that a Japanese name?
No, I don't think so. But I'm not sure where it came from. But just because he married Indian woman, mm-hmm. maybe he didn't want the Japanese name. I don't know.
Huh.
I don't know.
Yeah, because I've seen that name several times, but uh-huh. I've never figured out what the relationship uh-huh. was.
Yeah.
Now, were these people fishermen, or what did they do to make a living?
I think the son was John Ian, and what did he do? He wasn't a fisherman. Maybe he worked at the mill. I'm not sure.
Hmm. And what about Miyasato?
Miyasato, I know the daughter. And I don't know what she did either.
Hmm.
I wasn't close to them.
Mm-hmm. What about other Asian groups in Wrangell? Were there any Chinese or Koreans or Filipinos?
There must be some Filipinos, but they're not married. They're married to Indian lady.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know other uh-huh. people.
Did you have much contact with the other Japanese in other parts of Southeast or with the Kimuras in Anchorage?
No, not really. I never went to Anchorage. Just the Kainos in Petersburg.
Kainos. Uh-huh.
That's about all.
Were there any occasions for people to try to get together, Japanese groups?
Not really.
No.
We weren't that Japanese. We're not that, you know. Hakujin brand, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not enough Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't that close to Miyasato or anybody like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Maybe because I couldn't speak too much English, you know.
Well, I think the major populations of Japanese would have been in Ketchikan and in Juneau anyway.
Yeah.
So that's, I know a lot of the people heading north would always stop over in Ketchikan.
Uh-huh.
And they'd go meet the Ohashis and the Katsudas.
Yeah, just my brother-in-law's family, you know, Jack and Ann.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be close.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting to see all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ann taught me how to make apple pie and things like that.
Basic things.
Yeah.
Is there any sense of being tied to any of the Alaska people now that you're living in Seattle? Is there any gathering or do they ever, except for your work associated group?
Oh, there is. We get together, Wrangell's people get together once a year. And this neighbor's daughter, Michelle Bird, comes to get me.
Oh.
And we have lunch at the airport's restaurant. Mm-hmm. I forgot the name of it.
Hmm. So once they do continue year. That.
So I see people who used to live in Wrangell.
Ah.
Uh-huh.
Well, you should be getting our former governor pretty soon. Because I think he moved back to Wrangell.
Oh.
Frank Murkowski.
He moved back to Wrangell.
I heard he built a house there, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe he'll show up one of these days.
Oh, well. she and Lisa McCoskey, you know, and Mari, my youngest daughter, the same class.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, be good for her to go visit Lisa in Washington, D.C.
Well, when Mike, the Mrs. McCoskey took us to Senate dining room.
My goodness.
when we went to Washington, my older sister lives in Maryland, you know,
mm-hmm.
and we went to see her.
Mm-hmm.
She took us to dining room.
Ah. Well, that's nice. Did you have their famous
chicken? Something.
And sometimes their navy bean soup is very good too.
Yeah.
Have you ever been interviewed before? Is there a record someplace where we could look up information about you in a situation like this?
I don't know.
Because I know there are a lot of oral history projects that have been done.
Mm.
And I think you guys are very unique in the kinds of experiences you've had. And that's why I'm glad we have this interview.
I don't remember.
Well, really appreciate your
Sorry.
Allowing us to talk like this.
Oh, well,
very,
you're welcome.
Very interesting. And I think this whole business of how we document that Japanese part of history is, well, there's just not much work that's been done on it as far as I can determine, and particularly for fisheries and for timber. And I hope maybe we can get a little bit of that groundwork laid. And I think Toru's a real key in that too, since his family was involved and he knew some of the principles. And that's indirectly the way you learn about these things. Well, I appreciate very much your spending time with us.
No, oh, you're welcome.
Well, thank you. And what we'll do is we'll make a copy of this interview and then make sure you get copies back.
Oh, whatever. Doesn't matter.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.